Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the funerals have taken place of two more of the victims of last Friday's Chrysler tragedy. The funeral took place in Remelton this afternoon of Leona Harper, while the funeral of Martina Martin took place this morning in Chrysler. People in Chrysler and surrounding areas are being urged to prioritise their mental health in the aftermath of Friday's explosion. Free counselling services are being made available from specialist support teams. A temporary restriction on the flying of drones in the vicinity of Chrysler has been extended for a further 24 hours. Meanwhile, a verified GoFundMe page has raised over €400,000. Later in the bulletin, Kenny is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15, but we begin, sadly, as we have most days this week, with funerals. And a Liverpool flag and two red tractors could be seen outside St Mary's Church in Remelton this afternoon for the funeral mass of Leona Harper. The 14-year-old was killed on Friday afternoon when she went to buy ice cream at Laverty's shop and petrol station in Chrysler. She was described as a little gem who loved the outdoors, tractors and sport. Parish priest of Remelton, Father Michael Carney, said she enriched the lives of all who knew her, adding that she was at that point in her life where she was beginning to assert her own identity.
Donna and Hugh, you talk of Leona as quiet, no trouble, always helpful. But like any teenager, her relationship with you was changing and developing and moving to a different level. And there was a hint in what you said to me that she was becoming a little bit more assertive. Leona's interests and pursuits were many, varied, and indeed surprising. She was into her music and dance and was developing an eye for hair and fashion. But there was so much more. What really I love to hear, she loved the outdoors. She fished, she hunted, and she said to her dad just not so long ago, "When are we going hunting again?" She loved the peace and serenity of Garton Lake, and many of us who know that lake know that so well. A love of animals developed into an appreciation for farming and agriculture and a passion for tractors. She was beginning to figure in her rugby club as a gifted player. And like many girls, the exploits and successes of Kelly Harrington and Katie Taylor had sparked an interest in boxing. And I won't hold this against her. Liverpool was her team.
Father Michael Carney there speaking at Leona Harper's funeral this afternoon. The whole of that howley can be heard on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, earlier, Martina Martin was remembered as a very special person who was at the heart of the Chrysler community working in Laverty's. The 49-year-old was on duty at the time of last Friday's explosion. Father John Joe Duffy told her funeral today that in a matter of seconds, last week saw a tragedy etched on the hearts of people forever. He spoke of Martina's love for her family and her friends, a love which he said was returned.
She felt very much like home always in Chrysler, where your families originated from. She loved the people of this community, and we, each and every one of us who knew her, very much loved her. Martina's friends describe her as your mother hen to the core. She lived for you. She lived for you, her children, her close friends, family and friends.
And that homily also available in full on our website. Well, Father John Joe also paid tribute today to the healthcare staff who provided assistance since the explosion on Friday, with particular reference to those working at Letterkenny University Hospital.
I want to thank you, Sean Murphy, there you are, Sean, the Chief Executive of Letterkenny Hospital. I want to thank you for the wonderful response also that the hospital went on and received the people in there from your emergency department, and we know that they were here on the ground and Dr. Lane was very much in touch with the hospital, ringing up as the patients were going in, telling them what he had given them, what they needed, and so on. And it was just extraordinary, that level of cooperation from the ground here into the hospital. And thanks to your mortuary staff who worked throughout the night. I know the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste and others have visited the hospital. And just a sincere thanks, and a sincere thanks also to our own doctor who has the medical practice open. And Julie, again, is urging all of us to make contact with them, which I myself will do today, for the counselling services that the HSE are providing. So, Sean, please, thanks to you and to all your wonderful staff, and take that thanks back from the families who are so appreciative.
Well, Father John Joe referenced counselling and support there, and people in Chrysler and surrounding areas are being urged to prioritise their mental health in the aftermath of Friday's tragedy. Free counselling services are being made available from specialist support teams. A dedicated helpline to provide direct access to professional support and advice has also been set up. Anyone seeking help can call 087 140 5138. Referrals through that helpline will be prioritised. Well, John McArdle is the Director of Mental Health Nursing in Donegal.
There may be people out there who are being currently overwhelmed by sadness. They may be experiencing a lot of anxiety. They may be experiencing nightmares or flashbacks depending upon their involvement in the situation. And they may not wish to share those things with their family because it may be just too difficult. So I would encourage them to lift the phone to this support line. They'll get to talk it through with someone, and again, their circumstances will be assessed on the line, and they will be given appropriate advice, linking them in with further services should that be available. Again, that may be through the GP, where we have a wide range of support services. And there's also a range of services in the community and voluntary sector. So there are good opportunities here for people to avail of, and it can be done in a private and confidential way. This is going to be something that people haven't experienced before. And it is important, irrespective of how old or young they are, this is for every single member of the community.
And that was John McArdle. And just to repeat that helpline, it's 087 140 5138. Again, that's available on our website with more details there. A temporary restriction on the flying of drones in the vicinity of Chrysler has been extended for a further 24 hours. The updated restriction will remain in place until 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The coordinates, more details and a map of the zone, again available on our website. A verified GoFundMe appeal established after the Chrysler explosion has raised over €400,000 in 5 days. The GoFundMe page was established by Chrysler native Gerard McFadden. He's now liaising with the Chrysler Community Association to discuss the needs of the community with regards to distributing funds. The fundraiser is in the top five for Ireland this year. Moving on to other news, and prices are on average 8.2% higher than they were the same time last year. The CSO says inflation continues to happen within the Irish economy, with the biggest increases in housing, energy and transport. Over the past year, there's been at least 5% inflation every month. UCC economics lecturer Seamus Coffey has been examining the figures.
A level shift, a level increase in prices, again driven by international events, the energy shock, etc. And that has meant that the whole price level is higher. And that means, as we're going through this period, that those annual comparisons will remain high. As the CSO points out, they've been above 5%. Currently at 8%. We might see some moderation in this, but in terms of the economy and households, clearly having an impact, particularly those who are on fixed and lower incomes.
Two-thirds of households are uncomfortable with the amount of food they waste every week. 47% of people surveyed by Aldi say they throw out food weekly. Bread is the most commonly dumped item, followed by vegetables, fruit, dairy and meat. Gardaí have announced a number of appointments and allocations of chief superintendents and superintendents across the country. Locally, there's been one change. Inspector Sean Grant from Buncranagar, the station, has been promoted to superintendent. He'll be based at Cavangar, the station. The appointment takes effect from this day week, October 20th. Damage was caused after a firework was placed in a letterbox at a property in Derry. Police and the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service responded to the incident in the Stanley's Walk area at around 10 last night. A loud bang was heard at the front of the house and smoke observed from the front door. Police say they're aware of antisocial behaviour in the area, particularly over the course of the past week. They say this activity has to stop. Preparations are getting underway for St. Patrick's Day in Bunkranagh next year. A public meeting is taking place on Monday at the Lake of Shadows Hotel at 7:30. The committee is inviting members of the public, business owners and existing supporters to come along. Councillor Nicholas Crossland says support is vital for the success of the event and the planning should start now.
The St. Patrick's Day parade in Bunkranagh attracts more people for a single day in the Bunkranagh than any other event throughout the year. It's a huge injection.
The Dáil has been told that more radiotherapists need to be appointed in Galway University Hospital. South Donegal's Deputy Marion Harkin said notwithstanding the North West Radiotherapy Centre in Derry, most cancer patients from the region go to Galway for treatment, and that's been compromised because of staff shortages. She was told a review is to be completed shortly and Minister Stephen Donnelly will report back after it's done. Well, Deputy Harkin says that review can't come quickly enough.
I put down a number of written questions asking for some progress report, but the only response I get is that there's an ongoing review in the WRC. Despite a real crisis in the sector, Minister, very little progress has been made in getting this review up and running. Minister, about half of the people with a cancer diagnosis will require radiation therapy, and this can only be delivered by a radiation therapist. For the North West, that service is delivered mainly in Galway. About 15% of radiation therapist positions are vacant, and that number is rising, not falling, because of poor pay and poor career opportunities. But Minister, this isn't just about staff, it's about timely quality care for cancer sufferers. Can you ensure, please, there will be no delay in finalising the review?
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
5:14. Good evening, Kenny Horgan.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Shamrock Rovers manager Stephen Bradley says they have to approach tonight's Conference League meeting with Mulday in a positive manner. The Hoops are bottom of Group F with just a point from their opening three matches. They lost 3-0 against the same opposition last week in Norway, but Bradley insists they're capable of getting a result tonight.
Well, we know these are a very good side. We knew that before a ball was kicked and we seen that last week. So we have to respect their qualities. But we've also got to make sure that we perform and impose ourselves on them when possible. There's going to be times we're going to have to go without the ball. But when we've got it and we're in the game, we've got to go and really hurt them.
Kick-off there tonight is at 8 o'clock. Elsewhere in the same competition, West Ham, they host Anderlecht in Group B. That's also 8 o'clock kick-off. And the meeting of Fiorentina and Hearts in Group A has a 5:45 start. When both Arsenal and Manchester United can take another step towards the Europa League knockout stage tonight. The Gunners are top of Group A ahead of their meeting with Bodo Glimt at 5:45 in Norway. United, they trail Real Sociedad in Group E as they welcome Neil Lennon's Omonia Nicosia to Old Trafford. Kick-off there is at 8 o'clock. In some Euro 2024 news, the Republic of Ireland will face Gibraltar in Portugal during the Euro 2024 qualifying campaign. The Gibraltar FA has confirmed their home fixtures will be held in Faro. A new national stadium is to be developed in Gibraltar with construction to begin next year. Meanwhile, UEFA will conduct an investigation around the Scotland against the Republic of Ireland 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup qualifying playoff that was at Hampden Park on Tuesday night. The move comes after video showed Ireland players sing a song which had a pro-IRA chant. The FAI have confirmed the investigation and have again apologised for any offence caused, saying they will continue to review this situation accordingly to ensure that our international players and staff across all our teams are aware of their responsibilities. Well, the Republic of Ireland senior women's team are up to 24th in the latest world rankings, which is their highest ever position. Vera Pauw's side climbed two places after qualifying for the World Cup on Tuesday following their 1-0 win over Scotland. It means Ireland are set to be in pot three for the draw for the group stage later this month. USA lead the rankings, while European champions England, they're fourth. And Chelsea women's team manager Emma Hayes says she'll need time and patience to return to full health. Hayes underwent an emergency hysterectomy on Tuesday. Denise Reedy has been placed in temporary charge along with Paul Green. In horse racing, Dylan Brown McMonagall picked up a 48th win of the year today with his victory at the Curra. He was on board the 11-10 on favourite American Sonia for trainer Joseph O'Brien. McMonagall is on course to take a second successive apprentice jockey title, which he will receive at the start of next month. In golf, Jonathan Caldwell has finished on level par after his opening round at the Andalusia Masters in Spain. The Ulster man was 4 under par after 8 holes today, but 4 bogeys over his final 10 holes saw him carried a 71 at Valderrama. Caldwell's 5 shots off the lead, held by 4 players on 5 under par. Those include Søren Kjeldsen. And on the PGA Tour, American Brendan Steele is on 6 under par, leading the way following day 1 of the Zozo Championship in Japan. Defending champion Hideki Matsuyama, he's on 1 over par following a 71 today. And on the LPGA Tour, Leona Maguire's in the early stages of her opening round at the Aramco Team Series in New York. The Cavan golfer's 1 over after 3 holes. The early leaders are on 2 under par. In rugby, Leinster head coach Leo Cullen has handed Tadhg Furlan his first start of the season. The Irish international will feature in tomorrow's United Rugby Championship clash with Connacht in Galway. Connacht have made 5 changes to their side, with 4 of them coming on the pack. Colm O'Reilly makes a first start of the season at scrum half. And Premiership Rugby and the RFU say the sports stakeholders must address the broader challenges facing the game, with Wasps likely to follow Worcester into administration. A joint statement explains how close consultation will take place with clubs to examine the structure of the league and visibility of financial information. Finally, for this evening on The Score this week, former Finn Harps keeper Gavin Cullen joins us to look ahead to Finn Harps' tie with Dundalk tomorrow evening. Eirua manager John McNulty gives us neutral view ahead of this weekend's Donegal Senior and Junior Championship finals, while Paddy Hunter runs the rule over the Tyrone Senior Championship semi-finals. That's all on The Score this evening after the 7 o'clock news. That's your sports. Back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. It's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views, and I'll hand you over to Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. The likelihood of having to re-wet thousands of hectares of farmed peatland in many areas of Ireland, including Donegal, is prompting considerable debate. Indeed, the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association has blasted any such moves, claiming it would amount to a land grab. Essentially, it's all tied in with carbon emissions from farmed peatlands. To provide an insight into the subject, I've been speaking with Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal.
What we have is a conversation at the political level, more than anywhere else, around peatlands. Farmers are adamant that their land is a carbon sink. And there's a lot of research going on at the moment. There was a big open day in Johnstown Castle recently, and they're doing a huge amount of measuring of carbon that's going into the soil. Fascinating subject in itself. But the measure sticks we're going by at the moment are that typically the 4 million hectares of mineral soils, which is most of our land, trap about half a tonne of carbon per hectare per year, about 2 million tonnes of carbon. So that's the sequestration of our soils. The problem is that about 8% of farmland, peatland soil, somewhere in the region of 350,000 hectares by some measures, others measure the amount of peatland at 200,000 hectares, the peatlands emit massive amounts of carbon. 20 tonnes per hectare is the line figure taken. Now, the early research says that that's an overestimation of how much carbon is released from each hectare of peatland. But that adds up at the moment to about 9 million tonnes per year.
In simple terms, Pat, so even if it's just sitting there doing absolutely nothing, there are carbon emissions from it.
If it's dried, see, and people think of peatland, they think of the bogs, but peatland is it's a description of the soil. It's heavy in peat. You have mineral soils, then you have the mixed soils known as loam, which I suppose is the sweet spot. The thing about peat is that when it's wet, it expands a lot because it's a loose type of soil. And when peatland is wet, it expands significantly. And anyone can, anyone who's used moss peat in their gardens, and when you wet it, it expands significantly. And when it's dried, it contracts. And what happens is the methane that has been trapped in the peatlands, it's the breakdown of carbon, because peatlands are rich in carbon because it's heavy from vegetation and from trees from tens of thousands, millions of years ago. And we know that it breaks down into peat, and eventually it will break down, if it's under enough pressure, deep enough in the soil, it would break down into oil. That's sort of, it's the same process that carbon is transformed into peat. If you maintain that process and put it under thousands of tons of snow or under thousands of tons of rock, it will turn into to oil, and that's where the oil supplies and the gas supplies come from. But we have peatlands, and we have methane trapped in our peatlands. And in recent times, we have drained our peatlands to improve them so that we can utilise them for farming, because peatland is very fertile. That's why people use peat in their gardens. It's very fertile. And some of the best land in Ireland in terms of productivity is peatland. But because it's dry, it's contracted and it's emitting carbon. And this is the problem.
What does the European Union, what do they want us to do?
What do they want to do? What they want to do is they want, this is not towards these 2030 targets, this is looking towards the ultimate goal by 2050 of having farming carbon neutral and having Europe in general, not just in farming terms, carbon neutral. The EU's Nature Restoration Law, as we report this week, is proposing that 70% of each member state's drained and farmed peatlands need to be restored in the next 30 years. So we have about 350,000 hectares of peatland. That would mean about 200,000 hectares of that farmed peatland would have to be restored. What does restored mean? We're not sure. But what we do know is that half of that, which would be about 100,000 hectares, needs to be re-wet. And re-wet means put out of the use of any farm type that farming activity that we would be familiar with. It makes it unusable for farming, mm-hmm. for crops or for grass, unless, and I don't know if we've done any research on this, paddy fields are wetlands that are used for rice production. I don't know if there's a future for that. And I'm not saying that flippantly, because this is how unformed any policy around here is. All that they know is wet peatland, which has been dried, is problematic from a carbon emission point of view. The huge problem from a policy formulation issue here is that when we talk about forestry, well, you can plant forestry in a lot of different parts of the country and a lot of different land types. When we talk about, dairy limits or quotas or carbon quotas on a per farm basis, every farm will be given flexibility. But when we talk about rewetting of peatland, you either have peatland or you don't have peatland. Kind of like a bad lotto, in that some people are in the firing line and a lot of us will escape. But I think every farmer needs to realise that this will monumentally affect their fellow farmers. Vincent Roddy, the INHFA president, has described it as a land grab, and it is going to be incredibly emotive. And any proposals which come along, you would hope that it would be voluntary schemes looking to get farmers to buy into whatever proposals they come up with for this transformation of peatland. But it's very likely that they won't get the take-up they need for that volume of land. In that case, we're probably looking at a situation where the government will have to make very hard decisions if it wants to comply with the EU legislation around perhaps even compulsory purchase of land or compulsory orders for the transformation of land use.
And obviously there's going to be several thousands of hectares in Donegal that are going to come under this. Also this yes. week, Pat, I mean, somewhat different, but at the same time worth noting, in the Netherlands, they have certain issues there. Am I right in that?
I suppose it's a window into the future of what I've just been talking about in terms of government making decisions and significantly transforming the lives of individual farmers. So that everyone would have seen the Dutch protests during the summer. They're actually 3 years old this week. They're around issues to deal with the problem the Netherlands has with nitrogen levels. They're not nitrates levels, which is stocking rates. And, you know, we've the issues in Ireland with the nitrates and the derogation and all of that, which is about water quality. Nitrogen levels, it's about air quality. It's the amount of bagged fertilizer that they're using in the Netherlands. And we have some issues with that in this country, but they're not significant. And we think we can meet them quite easily by switching to protected urea from CAN in particular. But in the Netherlands, the issues are very significant. It, compared to Ireland, it's smaller than Ireland. Huge population, north of 15 million. One of the nitrogen emitters that are causing this air pollution is farming. So the government has committed to reducing fertilizer use by 50% by 2030. That's what caused the protest. What has happened is that the government have appointed a negotiator, a mediator, who's come forward with proposals, and the government will give their response to the proposals on Friday. And in that context, I sat down with the Dutch ambassador, Adrian Pam, earlier this week. But what is being proposed by the mediator is that 500 to 600 of the worst emitters be closed down. And this would be by compulsory order. They would be compensated, of course, but it would be the same as having where you lose land to a road, only this time you're losing it in terms of being able to spread nitrogen on your farm. And for Irish farmers watching, it may be a window into how re-wetting will be resolved. So it is a window into the future, and it's something I think every Irish farmer should be keeping a close eye on.
And that was Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Thank you indeed, Chris. Weather forecasts, Met Éireann tell us it'll be mainly dry this evening with a mix of cloud and some bright spells. Breezy in coastal parts. Showery outbreaks of rain will spread from the northwest overnight with some heavier bursts. Lowest temperatures 7 to 9 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, Friday, a good deal of dry, bright weather with sunshine and some well-scattered showers. Top temperatures 12 or 13 degrees Celsius. Becoming quite breezy. Main stories this evening, and the funerals have taken place today of 14-year-old Leona Harper and 49-year-old Martina Martin, both of whom died in last Friday's tragedy in Creasla. Tributes were paid today to the healthcare staff and those at Letterkenny University Hospital who've been working since the explosion on Friday. People in Creasla and surrounding areas are being urged to prioritise their mental health in the aftermath of what happened. Meanwhile, a temporary restriction on the flying of drones in the vicinity of Creasla has been extended for a further 24 hours. The updated restriction remains in place until 4 tomorrow afternoon. And it's emerged a verified GoFundMe appeal set up after the tragedy has raised over €400,000 over the course of the past 5 days. That's Highland Radio News for now. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 13th of October. The death has taken place of John White, Foyle View, St Johnson. Visitors welcome to John's home on Sunday evening from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Funeral service at his late home on Monday at 12 noon, followed by cremation in Lakeland's crematorium, Cavan. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to St Johnson Presbyterian Church, care of Mr James Fleming, Stedevage, St Johnson. The death has taken place of Gwen Crawford, named Lynn, Glinford Lifford, and formerly of Liz Clune, Dunamana, reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Requiem Mass can be viewed live at clonleyparish.com. The death has taken place of Dennis Doherty, Carol Moore, Glenn Toher, Carndonagh. His remains are reposing at his brother Jerry and Joan Doherty's residence in Carrowmore, Glentogher. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to Sacred Heart Church, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place in the Philippines of Ellis Cardotha, Philippines, son of Vilma Cardotha and stepson of Charlie Gilday, Ardra. Burial will take place on Sunday in the Philippines. The house in Ardra is private, please. The death has occurred of Brendan Ronan, 34, Kalita Road, Castle Derg. Funeral from the family home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Patrick's Church, Castle Derg, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of Brendan James Malloy, Drumbarron, Ardra, reposing at 18 Ardnagrania, Ardra, until 10 o'clock tonight, with house private, please, at all other times. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the tragic death has occurred in Creasla of Hugh Kelly, Castle Doe, Creasla. His remains are reposing at Lacca Bridge, Creasla. Funeral Mass in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.